Life Audio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Sparkle Speak. I'm your host, Catherine, and today I have the privilege of sharing with you an interview I did with Jodi Baron. Jodi is the best-selling author of the Praying the Scriptures book series, which includes volumes for children, teens, adult children, and life, plus the brand new Praying the Scriptures for Your Marriage book, which releases on April 25th of this year, 2023. Jodi has been a trusted speaker, Bible teacher, and prayer warrior for over 30 years. She and her husband, Robbie, have four married children, and they live in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And I loved talking to Jodi. We talked about her new book, Praying the Scriptures for Your Marriage. And we talked about how do you pray for your spouse? How do you pray with your spouse? How do you pray for a spouse who doesn't like to pray? I really enjoyed hearing the wisdom that she had to share. Being married for 37 years, she surely had some. And so I really appreciated it. And if you're interested in picking up a copy of her book, you can head to Amazon or her website. I will include all of that in the show notes. This would also be a great gift for a brand new bride, an engagement gift, or an anniversary gift. So if you enjoy what Jodi has to share with us, please pick up a copy and support her in that way. And I just think you're going to love hearing from her. So after a few words from our sponsors, we will get right into our interview with Jodi.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
But yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, where you live, your occupation, anything you think we might need to know about you?
Oh, gosh, what a nice question. Well, let's see. I am married to my college sweetheart. We're coming up on 38 years. We both graduated from the University of Virginia. We still live in Virginia, actually, Virginia Beach. And we have four adult children. They're all married themselves and they're starting families of their own. So we are fairly new grandparents. We've got a two-year-old, a one-year-old grandchild, and then a couple more on the way. So we're in a whole new season and it's kind of fun and kind of exciting.
That's awesome. Great. So you live in Virginia Beach. Do you know anything about Campus Crusade for Christ?
Well, my sister-in-law used to work for them. I love Campus Crusade for Christ. Why do you ask?
So I was involved with it at Michigan State, and Okay. Every summer,
come to our church. The crew kids come. We go to Galilee Church on the oceanfront, and we always love having the crew kids just come and take over four pews, you know, just a big old bunch, and
yeah,
we welcome it. It's really wonderful. Well, thank you for doing that. That's an exciting ministry.
Yeah, definitely. I never personally went, but I was on staff for a couple of years with them, so I knew all about that. So that's really fun.
That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm also an author. You may know that. I guess your listeners may or may not know that, but I've been writing books for maybe 30 years. I kind of fell into it backwards. I went to a Bible study when we were brand new in a town where I didn't know anybody. And I sat next to a lady at the Bible study who met me and said her husband needed a writer. And I had been writing television at the time before I had children. And I looked at her and I said, you know, I mostly write things like stay tuned or up next. You know, I don't know how to write a book. And she said, well, please go meet my husband and start and see if you could help him write his book. And I did. And we worked together and I found out I love writing books. And so that just sort of started that journey there. And so that's how that happened.
Wow. That's really cool. I can't wait to hear, you know, about some of your books that you've written too and why. So I'm really anxious to hear you speak more on that. Before we get there though, can you tell us this is something we ask all of our guests, just to kind of get an idea of who you are and what God's done in your life. But what experiences have you had that have helped shape or change your view of God? Or have there been like significant events or seasons of life that have really defined your faith journey?
Wow, great question. And I bet that's an interesting one, given all your different guests and their backgrounds, where they come from. For me, I would say I probably have two defining moments or seasons. One happened when I was 8 years old. I grew up in a home where people went to church. My dad taught Sunday school. He was what you would call like a pillar in the community. He coached the softball team and, you know, did all the things that a good dad should. And my mom too. They were partners together in going to church, taking us, enrolling us in the choir, all of that. Just being good, solid people. Well, my dad went to a meeting where somebody explained the gospel message to him, that it wasn't about being a good person, but that it was about, you know, recognizing that you're actually a sinner, that you need a savior, and kind of leaning into God's grace. And that made sense to him. He had been a Wall Street executive and he'd just kind of seen all sides of life. And so he trusted Christ as an adult who'd been in church his whole life. And he came home and explained it to his children. And even as an eight-year-old, it made sense to me. I think sometimes when we're young and we hear about Christ dying for us, it's easier to comprehend than when we're older and have all these objections and skeptical views and different things. And even as an eight-year-old, I knew that I was a sinner. I mean, that sounds awful, but you know, you're a kid and you know your heart and you don't try to put any masks on when you're that young. So I thought, yeah, I'll take everything about God's grace. So that was my quote conversion story, which is kind of funny because it's not dramatic. I didn't ever go through this major life change. I didn't see a flash of light or have a warm feeling cover me. It was just sort of my dad explained it. I agreed with it. I prayed with him and then been kind of walking with the Lord pretty much ever since. But I would say things went deeper for me when I had my own children, because I think then is when I really began to understand the father heart of God, his love, his compassion, his patience with us. Because when I found myself in parenting shoes, I felt like, wow, God is just so kind to me and so patient with me. I must drive him crazy, because, you know, our kids can either drive us crazy or they can make us have questions. Like I felt like I knew I couldn't do it all. I needed some help. And so I started to look at my Bible, not just as something to pray. You know, as a Christian in college, I would say, okay, I'll read my Bible and I'll pray. And I looked at those as sort of two separate things. But once I became a mom and sort of found myself crying out to God for help, I began to look at my Bible, not just as something to read, but as something to pray, where, like, if the Bible says encourage one another daily, I could look at that. That's Hebrews 3:13, I think. And I could say, Lord, help me encourage my husband daily. Help me encourage my kids daily. And that could just become a prayer. And I felt like my prayer life got so much more interesting and creative than it had been up to that point. I mean, I was a praying mom. I'd ask God to help them on their spelling tests, or if they got sick, you know, to make them feel better, all of those things. But when I began to really tap into the Bible as a springboard and a launching pad for my prayers, and let what I read or read there shape my desires and my perspective on things, my prayers just took on a fresh power. And honestly, I think they started to line up a lot more with what God already wanted to do. You know, we know he has good plans and purposes for our lives. And I think scripture for me was a way of really coming to understand that and partner with him in accomplishing those things, you know, for my kids, for my marriage, for my friendships, all of that, for myself, just through prayer. So,
yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And from one mom to another, because I'm in, you know, those early days of motherhood where you have a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old. And sometimes I'm just trying to figure all that out. You know, what does it look like to really walk
you
in
would
your
read faith? You would read a verse out of Psalm 127 where it says children are a gift from God, and you'd say roger that, but then you'd see the very adjoining verse says God grants sleep to those he loves. And I remember being a young mom and looking at God going, I'm going to pray that you would grant me sleep because I really need it.
Yeah.
So that was an early scripture prayer for me, was Psalm 127. Thank you for giving me my children as a gift, but boy, Lord, would you please grant us some sleep?
I love that. Thanks for sharing that. That one will go in my list. Yeah. So kind of to piggyback off of that, can you tell us about your new book and maybe what inspired you to write it?
Well, thank you for asking. The new book is called Praying the Scriptures for Your Marriage. It comes out April 25th of 2023. And it is, I guess, the fifth in a series of books. I started with Praying the Scriptures for Your Children. And that was in that season I was explaining to you of having young kids and beginning to talk to God. And I would look at my friends and I would say, well, what do you want God to do in your family? And of course, you can imagine the answers. You know, I want him to make my kids wise and kind. I want them to be safe. I want them to have Jesus as their savior, to have a faith. I want them to have good friendships, relationships with teachers, you know, purpose in life, all these different things. And when I would talk to my friends and kind of actually interview them about, okay, what do you want? Then I would go looking around in the Bible and come to find out, which you probably know, but it was kind of new to me, God cares about all these things too. And there's not any need or concern that we're going to have or desire that he's not already thought of and provided for in the pages of the Bible. And so that's sort of the backdrop to how I started writing about prayer and, you know, talking to people, hearing their stories, seeing what they were asking God to do, how he was answering, how I could adapt some of those prayers in my own life, and then share that with other people. If you've seen any of my books, you know that every chapter always ends with about 12 scripture prayers. So somebody who's brand new to prayer doesn't have to do all that work, because I was like, okay, this was a heck of a lot of work for me to really call through this. I want to make it easier for other people to say, you know what, be kind and compassionate, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. That's, I think, out of Ephesians. And I would look that up on a chapter on being kind or compassionate for our children and write that out with a blank in it, and we could pray it over our kids. Anyway, then my kids got a little older and they started driving and dating and, yes, drinking and doing some teenage things. And I thought, wait, I didn't put that stuff in the first book. And so I went back and started researching some teenage issues and some of the tricky stuff too, you know, that we see our teens go through, whether it's real friendship concerns or a sense of belonging or using technology, all of that. Went back and wrote Praying the Scriptures for Your Teens. And then, you know, kids got older, they moved out, went to college. I had those brand new set of mama worries. And then they went off and were looking for jobs and starting families of their own. So I wrote Praying the Scriptures for Your Adult Children, that even the whole adjustment to the empty nest, how we can release our kids, how we can bless them, even when we don't love all the choices they're making, how we can continue to love them. And then I sat back and I thought, well, you know, I kind of want to pray for myself too. So the next book in the series was Praying the Scriptures for Your Life. And that one, I just love. It's tiny, short little chapters, but it's all about all the different things that we go through, whether it's suffering and grief or struggling with unanswered prayer. There's a chapter in there about aging well, which I liked a lot. But just kind of personal things and sharing a little more of my story in there. But then I kept hearing from readers and followers saying, when are you going to write something about marriage? And I thought, golly, don't we have enough books about marriage already? You know, I probably own close to 30 books about marriage myself, you know, a lot of them written by Christian authors and super helpful. And I thought, do we need one more marriage book? But I thought about it, prayed about it, talked to my publisher, talked to a bunch of friends again about what they were praying, and thought, you know, maybe there is some space for this one. And this book, yeah, it's got 20 different chapters, the most common things that marriages go through, from leaving and cleaving, to finding your purpose, to things like walking through suffering or, you know, a betrayal, trusting God with differences in your faith, thriving in the empty nest years when your kids are gone, you know, kind of a lot of common topics. Not all Robbie and I have gone through. You know, I was really grateful to the folks who would share their stories. I haven't dealt with the pain of infertility or losing a child. I talk to people who have. And so that's how that book came together, Praying the Scriptures for Your Marriage.
Yeah, that's really cool. And why do you think that prayer matters in a marriage?
Other good question. Well, I will tell you, I learned a lot writing this book. I mean, I think it matters as a doorway to intimacy and connection, you know, with your spouse and also with God. But as I was researching, I learned things that kind of make sense, but I didn't know have been sort of scientifically proven that prayer in a marriage can lead to a greater sense of emotional well-being. It makes you more satisfied in your own marriage. It opens the door to better sex. And it creates a feeling, they say, a Wall Street Journal article actually came out saying, you know, when you are annoyed with your spouse or angry and you pray either together or apart, but, you know, about it, it gives you a chance to calm down and reinforces the idea that you're on the same team. It's sort of a whole perspective shift. And so in that sense, it really contributes to stronger, healthier marriages. So I really do think prayer matters. But even above all of those perks that people have discovered, you know, the side benefits to your emotional health, your sense of satisfaction, all of those things, I think we know that we don't have all the answers, right? And we know we need help. And the invitation God gives us to ask him, he says that in John 15, you know, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And he says that this glorifies God and it helps us bear fruit. And in a marriage, I think if we are remaining in Christ, and that's very Bible sounding language, but it really just means putting our trust in him, surrendering to him, letting his words remain in us, reading the Bible, not just popping in once in a while, but really taking some time, whether it's 5 minutes a day, like a young mom might have, or a half an hour a day, some older lady like me might have. Just having that little meat to chew on every day, even just two verses, that's the kind of thing that can start to shift your thinking. And as I said earlier, your desires, so you can begin to ask him. And in our marriage, I just felt like it was so nice to know that we had something stronger than we were, more stable than we were, that we could turn to when we didn't have the power in ourselves. You know, there have been times when I know I'm supposed to be kind, or I know I'm supposed to be forgiving, but daggone it, I just don't want to. And during those times, I can say, Lord, you know, would you make me willing to do this? And then there have even been times when I've had to say, would you make me willing to be made willing? Because right now I'm not even willing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think we can turn to God that way and just say, you know, maybe willing to be willing to forgive, to love, to speak with kindness, all of those things. Mm-hmm. So that's where I think prayer really can be a game changer in marriage.
All right, everyone, we're going to take a quick break. And after a few words from our sponsors, we'll be right back to hear more. I think that's great. And what would be your advice? I don't know if you touch on this in the book or not, but what if your spouse doesn't want to pray with you?
Okay, you asked a great question, and one that when I surveyed all my social media followers before I started working on the book, I was like, what do you want in a book about praying for your marriage? And that was probably the number one thing. You know, I got all the usual things like, I want to communicate better. I want to know how to deal with my in-laws. Sometimes we fight about money, you know, normal stuff you expect. But over and over and over again, I heard, mostly from women, but also from some husbands, you know, we don't feel like we're really matched spiritually. My spouse doesn't want to pray with me, or my spouse isn't even a believer, you know, or maybe they believe in their head, but it hasn't really become a passion of their heart. And I get that. I mean, Robbie and I are both Christians. We're both strong in our faith, I would say, but we have very different prayer styles. I like to journal. I like to pray out loud with him. He doesn't write anything down. He likes to pray in his head, you know, so we've had to kind of work on meshing those things and give each other some grace and kind of give up our own systems to meet the other's needs. But on the kind of the, what if they're just not willing? I interviewed one gal and she was so precious because she said, you know, I felt like my husband's faith was so much shallower than mine. She said, and I would buy him Bibles, like with his initials on them, really nice leather. And she said, I got him a devotional with a golfer on the cover because he likes to golf. And I would like give him emails of other men in the church that I thought would be fun friends for him. And she just was trying everything she could think of. And she said, finally, one day he looked at her and he said, why do you think your faith is so much better than mine? And that really took her back and made her kind of do some self-examination about how she was trying to change him into kind of the Christian husband she thought he should be. And she had to say, wow, I've been kind of arrogant. I need to realize that all the Christian books and Bibles and friend contacts I give him aren't going to change his perspective nearly as much as if I live it out. If I am humble and patient, if I serve him in love, you know, as Jesus says, walk in love, and just, you know, as Christ did for us, giving himself up for us, as we give ourselves up for our partner, that is a testimony. That, you know, showcases the gospel. That's something that's going to draw the unbelieving spouse into a desire to get to know more about God than any number of, you know, devotions that have golfers or whatever on the cover. And so I loved talking to that gal, just to kind of get her very honest perspective, because I think it's a place we've all been, if we're, you know, a lot of, maybe not all, but a lot of women feeling like, okay, how do I motivate my husband? And I think the biggest thing you can do is to trust God with him, and don't say, I used to pray, Lord, would you fix Robbie? Because he wasn't doing things that I would like. And he didn't do things the way my dad had done. And I'm sure he was thinking, fix Jody too. It wasn't a one-way thing when we were, especially in our newlywed years, you know, you come from different backgrounds and you have some mismatched expectations of what his mom did, what my dad did, you know, what you expect things to look like at home. Mm-hmm. And it really created some tension for us. And I remember saying, God, can't you just fix him? And I was nagging, you know, that was not the best approach, but I would be like, why aren't you helping? You know, why don't you go to the store some? We're both working. I'm tired too. Mm-hmm. And, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, Jody, if you will just trust me, if you'll stop nagging and let me, you know, do what I want to do, shaping you and shaping Robbie into the man that I want him to be, I can make him a better husband than anything you could ever design, even if you had a blank check to do it. And you know what? I wish I could say I totally stopped nagging. I said yes to the Lord the very next night. Robbie came in. It was the first night in our married life. We'd been married more than a year. The first night he walked in and he was like, is there anything I can do to help with dinner? And I just thought, wow, this is the first night I haven't had a bitter attitude or started nagging, and God's already going to work. And, you know, we really felt something shift in our relationship then. And again, I'd love to say I never nag and always trust ever since then, but it was a great lesson to me on surrendering that and trusting and working on my heart being loving more than trying to shift my spouse.
Yeah, that's really good. And I agree. That's really applicable, especially in the newlywed years.
Yes.
When you're really so trying to learn all that.
Yeah. I write a couple chapters in the new book about leaving and cleaving, and you know how that can be hard. There's a chapter on getting started and even identifying and fulfilling your purpose. Like Robbie and I didn't talk about what the purpose of marriage was, other than I love you and I want to spend the rest of my life with you. You know, we didn't talk about things like reflecting the gospel through our marriage so that our children or our friends might get to see Jesus through us. We didn't talk about what it looked like to go and bear fruit. You know, you read that in Genesis when God says, be fruitful and multiply. And we thought, okay, that just means we should try to have kids. But there's so much more than that. As God looks at our marriages and says, you know what? I've got callings for you. I've got plans for you. I've got purposes. I've got fruit I want you to bear in your families, your neighborhoods, your churches, your communities. And the way you can do that is stronger together than as two people apart. So let me work in you and through you. And really, you know, like I said, we've been married nearly 40 years and we're just kind of starting to understand the power of fruit bearing within marriage now.
Yeah. Well, you're probably seeing a lot of it come to the surface just from all the work you've put in over time. And
well, it's fits and starts like any marriage, but I think that we are seeing that. And I think you get older and you can let go of some of the pressures you had. There, of course, new pressures and things in the empty nest season, but I think you're less about, trying to please people or figure out who you'll be. You can kind of realize who you are and say, okay, God, this kind of who I am, use me. And that's a freedom there. So.
That's awesome. Yeah. So in addition to talking about prayer and marriage, you give some tools to people as well for how they can, you know, listen better or, you know, be more prayerful. So can you touch a little bit on some of the tools that you talk about in your book?
Well, that's a wide question and a really good one. On the most basic level, I think the tool is prayer and the ability to pray scripturally. And that's, I think, the real strength of the book isn't necessarily anything that I wrote. It's the scripture prayers at the end of each chapter that give us, even if you are brand new to prayer and you've never said anything other than grace before meals, maybe this gives you the tool you need to get started about whatever the topic is. But there are also questions in there for reflection, for discussion, because I think communication can be tough for couples. And sometimes just having a few prompts to get you, you know, off of square one, talking to your spouse and to God, I think that can help. So every chapter has some of those questions for discussion, for reflection. But I think there are other tools too. One of the things Robbie and I heard when we were fairly young in our marriage, we heard a minister talk about how he and his wife decided that they would try to outserve each other. They would each try to, you know, give up their own needs or desires, put the other person first. And it became a competition for them to the point that the husband got really frustrated, and he was laughing. He goes, "She was outserving me, and I just felt like I had to think of ways to catch up." And that really took hold in our hearts. And even if it was something like Robbie bringing me a cup of coffee in the morning, that simple act of service would just make me more inclined to want to be giving and kind toward him. And we didn't know it, but we were tapping into something that marriage and relationship experts have actually discovered. That there's a couple called the Gottmans. They're pretty famous in the marriage and relationship world. They're doctors, and they set up what they called a love lab, where they had all these couples come in, and it was meant to look like just a cushy romantic retreat, but they were observing them. And they were able to discover things like, here's, you know, I won't spoil it all because people can read it in the book, but the punchline is that kindness is what glues couples together, because even the simplest acts, you know, when somebody says, "Hey, look at that beautiful bird," if you kind of ignore them and, you know, keep doing whatever you're doing, watching TV, reading your phone, you know, whatever it is, that's like a cold shoulder, a contempt, and that creates a barrier. Whereas if you listen to them and like kind of meet their gaze and say, "Yeah, that is a beautiful bird. Wow, you spotted that." Just that little connection point of kindness builds the connection and cements that relationship. They say kindness glues couples together. And I think that's a secret sauce in marriage. And we really need to kind of work on cultivating kindness, because this other thing too is we all have some kindness. Some people though are just naturally kinder than others, and some of us have to work it like a muscle and try to be intentional about it. And if we do work it like a muscle, just like a muscle, it really does grow.
That's really good. And I have a personal question for you. I don't know if I'll include this in the podcast or not, but just since we're on the topic, I was like, maybe I'll ask this. So you made the connection that, you know, sometimes Robbie or you will bring a cup of coffee to the other person in the morning, and that's just a small gesture. So my husband is so funny because I've done that in the past, but he's not a coffee drinker. So uh-huh. He'll be like, "Oh, thanks, but I didn't really want it." Or I'll be like, yeah, "Hey, do you want a cup of coffee?" And he'll be like, "No, I'm fine." So yeah, I just feel like I try to serve him sometimes, but right, I don't always know how, yeah, or yeah, maybe he doesn't receive it. So then I'm less likely to try again. Sure. Do you have any advice for that?
Yeah, you know, that is a great question. And I hope you do keep it in the show, because, you know, we can't expect our spouse to be mind readers, for one thing. You know, we think, "Oh, I've been talking about, you know, how much I'd love a new rug for the bedroom, and Christmas or my birthday's coming." And we just expect that they're going to put two and two together and kind of say, "Oh, I better get a rug or something." And I use that example because a friend just recently shared it, because she had a birthday and she was so hoping, and she really had to kind of be clear about it, because she thought, "I don't want to be disappointed and have him be a mind reader or make the mistake of thinking that, oh, he knows exactly what I'm thinking." But one of the things that I think has been helpful for Robbie and me, and you probably have heard of this, is the 5 love languages. Have you? Yes. So, mm-hmm, you know, when we used to teach marriage courses, we would ask couples to go through that, because, you know, and for anyone who's not familiar with them, they are acts of service, words of kindness that are an affirmation, just encouragement, quality time together, physical touch, and material gifts. And, you know, Robbie loves physical touch and he loves quality time. I love acts of service and material gifts. And so you would think you tend to give what you want, but like, I could give Robbie acts of service all day long. you know, I could iron his shirts, fix his breakfast, whatever. And he would just kind of think, okay, you're doing, I guess, what a wife does. I don't know. But like, if I scratch his head, scratch his back, he's like, oh, that just says love. So I think it's really helpful for couples to say, okay, what shows love to you? And then how can I do that? So if your husband doesn't love coffee, but maybe he loves affirming words, maybe you don't come in with coffee. Maybe you just come in and say, you know, it's a great day outside. And I just feel like you're the best, mm-hmm. you know, something that's a silly example, but you know what I mean? Just to kind of figure out what is it that says, I love you to your spouse, and then do that. And really that's something, if there's a couple where the husband or wife isn't really comfortable praying together, just that demonstration of love and support, I think is a really great way to build that bond that can then later blossom into prayer. And we saw that over and over again as we would lead these marriage courses, which would run over the course of maybe 7 weeks. And at the beginning, we had couples who just weren't comfortable praying together. And we'd say, you know what, don't pray then. At the end, when we say our little quiet prayer time at the individual tables, why don't you just say, what's one thing I can do to support you this week? Or what's one way I can show you're loved? And they would begin talking, you know, with their heads together about those things. And that, you know, wouldn't you know it, it would just open the door to them to be able to be like, God, would you help me support my spouse this week? And the prayers just began to take root.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Thank you so much for taking the time to share this with us. It's like just a small taste of, you know, obviously the resource that you have to offer. So can you tell us when the book will be out, where people can find it, and even where they can find you too, if they want to get more information?
Yeah. Well, again, the book releases April 25th. And there are some great, I don't know when this show will drop, but there are some conversation cards that are free on my website with any pre-order. It's at jodyburnt.com. And those have been really fun. There are 20 different cards that have little topics you can talk about pertaining to marriage, and then one little prayer verse on them so that you can just have that prayer. You know, Robbie and I have been using them at our breakfast table, and you could stick them in your pocket for a date night, whatever it is. It's just a fun little way to get the conversation flowing with God and with each other. But the book comes out April 25th. And I think I'm most active really on, besides the website, on Instagram, which is Jody_Burnt. So I'm sure you can put it in your show notes because it's a weird name to spell, but I'd love to connect with people that way. I do a newsletter people can sign up for. Anyway, lots of different ways to connect, but my heart is just to make prayer so doable. And especially like I said earlier, for young moms who might not have a lot of time, people who are kind of new to it. When you go to jodyburnt.com, there's all kinds of free things like prayer calendars and prayer cards and things you can print out for your children, just so that it's doable.
All right, everyone, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Sparkle Speak. As always, you can find us at sparklefaith.com or head over to our partners at lifeaudio.com, where you can hear more podcasts just like this one. Don't forget to check out our show notes to find all of our social media. And as always, don't forget to rate, subscribe, like, share this with people that you think would enjoy hearing. It really helps us more than you realize and allows us to keep doing what we love to do, spreading the hope and love of Christ with others. So thank you so much for being here, and we will see you next episode. Bye.
This is Chris Christensen, and back in 2006, I started a simple project. A project to try and introduce more people to the Bible through Bible study, called the Bible Study Podcast. It's a simple name and a simple idea. Each week, every week, we study one chapter of the Bible, talk about what it says, and what that might mean for us today. To listen now, go to lifeaudio.com or search for the Bible Study Podcast on your favorite podcast app.